Now, as we go down this pathway, in Toronto, we did a really, really fun and exciting Rain meeting on Tuesday night. We talked about death, destruction, and as a matter of fact, Peter Kinch did math, and that was the highlight of the first half. People were excited to do math to get out of the death and destruction side of it. So, you know, we had a lawyer who's going to come here and also talk to you about a bunch of things about, you know, how to structure JV partners and buy sell insurance and all that important stuff. But the second presenter there was talking about insurance. And the truth is that a guy came up to me and a Rain member who's been a Rain member for about 8 months. And he comes up to me, goes, "Listen, Don, you know, when anybody opens up a sentence with 'Listen, Don,' I'm going, oh God, here it comes." He goes, "Listen, Don, I've been investing for 8 years." And I said, "Yeah, and you know it all." I hear you saying it all in my head, right? He goes, "And you know what? I look at your emails and I say, well, it's about insurance and it's about joint venture partners and I all this stuff." And should I go to it? Should I go live? Should I get the CDs? I know all this stuff. I've been doing this for 8 years. And he says, and he used the F word, "In time, I come here, you teach me something new." He says, "So I'm no longer questioning whether I come. I know I've been investing. I know insurance inside out. Now I've learned 10 things in the last half an hour. So thank you. Tonight is I'm hoping that you're gonna see the exact same thing occur. Insurance right now is A, much more difficult to get on rental properties. B, real crap coverage. I am saying Rain members are coming to me and saying, look at my coverage. What do you think? And I'm seeing people with 30-day vacancy clauses that if after your property is vacant for more than 30 days, then your coverage is null and void. A lot of people don't even read their insurance policies and have no idea that that's what's true. And I'm seeing people with no sewer backup coverage. I'm going, sewer's backup, and they are a $20,000 to $50,000 cleanup if you do it right, especially if it's a really bad one. These types of things where people are not getting the coverage, they're just going for the cheapest thing. So what I've asked Brian Fitzpatrick, who now is getting increasingly more of my insurance, by the way, and has saved me a ton of money on my multifamily stuff, he's going to come up here, and he's been doing review of a lot of Rain members' stuff throughout the last couple of years, and he's going to show you some pitfalls and some things to watch out for. Then he's going to give you a checklist that you can take home and go through your own so that you can do a self-audit. So we want to make sure that you leave here with the knowledge to make sure that you're covered, because there's nothing worse than spending the money every year and every year and every year, and then finally something happens, and guess what? You go to the insurance company and they disallow it, or they say that you have to pay half of the claim or something. We don't want that to happen to you, and that's what tonight is about. And Brian's here for about 20 minutes. He's going to walk you through some of the things that he's seen. And boy, it's pretty scary. If you haven't done your own audit, I highly recommend that you do. And if not, send your stuff to him to look at. He's not going to sell you something. He's going to make sure you're covered. That's his commitment. Everybody give it up all the way from Willingdon. Wow, that must have been a drive. Mr. Brian Fitzpatrick, everybody, come up. They're going to clap all the way till you're here, Brian.
Yeah. Thanks, Don.
Welcome here.
I love the way you make insurance sound good.
It's good, man. I'm telling you. It's important. Save my butt a couple of times.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
There's a few things going on in insurance, in the insurance world in Canada, that I wanted to bring you up to date on. And one of them is water damage losses. Water damage is one of the biggest issues for insurance companies in Canada. As such, they're starting to implement more restrictions onto insurance policies that are going to affect you as investors. And increased premiums are going to... You're going to see increased premiums if you have a building that has a history or problems with water damage. Water damage claims have now passed fire insurance claims as a leading cause or total amount of payouts in Canada for the first time ever. 44% of claims from Aviva Insurance Company last year were for water damage claims, and basement flooding would be burst pipes, and sewer backup is a huge amount as well at $140 million last year. And when you have a water damage claim, it can be pretty bad. I say on here $20,000 to $100,000. We actually had a claim last year that was $302,000, and that was for a burst pipe in an ensuite in an owner-occupied house.
Hopefully they had full coverage.
Yeah, they did. Under the RAIN program that we've been running for 18 months now, our water damage claims have averaged $26,500 over that time, so it can be a pretty serious thing. The sources of water, the leading cause of a water claim is going to be faulty plumbing. Your hot water tank's going to burst. Pipes burst. A gray pipe in some of the houses is bad. Crane toilets have a history of breaking. And second to that is appliances. Dishwashers and washing machines are the worst. When it comes to condominium properties, the washing machines is the leading cause of claims. There's some theories as to why these water damage claims are growing and becoming such a problem in Canada. The infrastructure in the municipalities is aging and getting old. Some streets in towns originally had 10 houses on the street, and now developers have come along, they knocked down three houses, and they put up a 50-unit condominium building. Now those 50 units are dumping their sewer drains into the same pipes that were there when it was just originally the houses on the street, so that... in combination with climate change, we're getting bigger storms and bigger dumps of water, and the sewers just can't handle it. Also, finished basements for revenue properties. People are putting in suites for owner-occupied houses. People are finishing their basement. They watch Home and Garden TV, and it gives them ideas on how to finish the basement. And the last one on my list here is laminate flooring, and I know that's really big to RAIN members. Laminate flooring is a big thing that y'all put in the houses, and tenants love that. It's pretty much bulletproof product, but all wood products have a memory. Like if a hardwood floor gets wet, it swells up. After it dries out, it goes back to its original shape. But laminate flooring, its only known enemy is water. If it swells up, it doesn't remember what it looked like before, and it just stays that way. So the entire floor has to be torn out of the house and replaced. So if you're using laminate flooring, don't keep it around your hot water tank or your dishwasher. Water damage can have a big impact for investors, especially if you don't have proper insurance and you can't fix it. It's going to destroy the value of your property, and you're going to lose rental income while you're fixing your house. There's also impacts for your tenants, your renters in there. Their belongings are going to be damaged, and a tenant is going to look to you for compensation, and that's when you're going to hope that they took your advice and got their own insurance. Some tenants feel that it's the landlord's responsibility. That they, you know, if a pipe breaks, they don't think it's their fault, and they're looking to you. So that's a very good reason for you to make sure your tenants have their own insurance policies, because that will pay to put them in a hotel while the premises are being fixed. I wanted to bust a few myths about water damage claims. One big myth is that municipal governments are going to pay for a sewer backup claim, and it is their fault if the sewers couldn't handle it. In reality, every municipality has passed a bylaw that prohibits you from going after them for any water damage caused by a sewer backup, so you're on your own. Another myth is that your policy is going to cover the tenant's belongings, but that one of the basic principles of insurance is you can only insure what you own, so the tenant has to have their own insurance policy for their belongings and to pay for their additional living expenses if they have to move out during repairs. Another myth is that your insurance will pay for burst pipes. Well, in reality, your insurance will pay for the damage caused by the water that escapes from burst pipes, but you're on your own for a plumbing bill. And that's a lot of people sometimes think that that's going to be covered. Wear and tear is not covered under an insurance policy, and when a typical pipe breaks, it's because it's a wear and tear. The only exception to that would be a freezing claim, because then that's not a wear and tear of the pipe, it's just a weather-related claim, and that's the only type of claim where your insurance company will pay for the actual plumber's bill. So insurance companies are in the business to make money. Most of you probably realize that, and insurance companies, when they see a trend of claims and lots of water damage claims, they want to stop those claim payouts so they can continue to make money for their shareholders. So some of the things that you really have to be aware of in policies nowadays is some insurers are inserting limitations on water damage claims. It's quite common to see policies with a $5,000 limit on water damage. you know, as I showed earlier, a claim can be $20,000 to $100,000. So if you have a $5,000 limit and you find out the hard way, you're not going to be very happy. So you've got to read your insurance policy. Some companies have higher deductibles for water damage claims. There's always been an exclusion in most policies when you're vacant. Don mentioned some companies give you 30 days for vacancy coverage. We give 60. Some companies give more. But what you really have to look for is that most policies, the day your property becomes vacant, there's no coverage for water damage at all. And that can be quite serious because you could be away from the property and come back a week later to find that the pipe's been running for a week and you have no coverage at all. When your tenants go away in the usual heating season, a lot of policies restrict freezing damage. I've seen this in a claim where the tenant goes to Mexico for 2 weeks in the winter. They shut off their furnace, so when they come back, they don't have a big heating bill. The pipes break when they're away, and they have no coverage at all under some policies. Not all policies have those restrictions. A lot of them do. That's why it's really important to read your policy before something happens. Companies don't pay for flood coverage, and another big one is bylaw upgrades. If you have an older house and the pipe breaks and does a lot of damage, the municipality is going to make you bring your house up to current codes while you're doing that repair, and your insurance won't.
And here's a story that was shocking but not shocking when you think about it. And a Ray member came to me at the last Ray meeting and said, "Here's one for you." And his tenant was washing the dishes. And as tenants love to do, they keep the water running on this side, right? Because you don't want to turn it on and off because, like, water's free, right? So he cut himself in the sink and went to the hospital. So hospitals are quick, right? No. So 9 hours later, he came home. And, of course, that thing was running. And the thing was plugged. Filled it up with the basement was all full of water. Did not phone the landlord. Decided to wait until it dried out a little bit so it didn't look as bad when he phoned the landlord. He said, "Oh, you better come and bring a couple of dehumidifiers into the house." This is like now a week later. And so now he's he had water damage loss insurance and he's covered. Thank goodness, because he listened to this presentation. But this is the kind of thing that you deal with that you wouldn't think of, right? If you cut your hand and the water's running, generally, most of us in this room would go off, then to hospital, right? Generally, but, you know, you can't expect that to occur.
I think that was 8% of the claims were human error. They're leaving the tap running, leaving the bathtub running. So there's an impact on investors when the companies are starting to put these restrictions on the policies. A big thing in BC is if anybody's involved with a condominium property, if you own a condo, a high-rise, 30% is the average rate increase in British Columbia this year. It's as high as 50% in some of the high-rises there. They're having the worst water damage claims. And if a pipe breaks on the 10th floor and it runs through 10 units, it's going to cause a lot of damage. The condo boards are now offloading the responsibility for the water damage to the owners, and they're doing it by having increased deductibles on their policy. They want to keep their costs down to the unit owners for their monthly fee on their insurance. So the only way
this is really, really important. If you own a condo or a townhouse, this part here is really important. Why you get extra coverage, not just the condo coverage.
Yeah, and because the claims in a particular building could be bad, the only way they can get insurance is with a high deductible. And the way the law works in BC, if there's a claim and it happened in your unit, you have to pay the deductible. I saw for the first time 2 weeks ago a client had a policy with a $200,000 water damage deductible on their master policy. And, you know, once we explained how the coverage worked, they were immediately going to put it up for sale. And that's something you guys should all know when you're buying a condominium. There's no law in BC that says someone has to disclose to you if any previous claims were in that building. But as a purchaser, you can demand to see a copy of the insurance policy on that building before you buy in it. And one look at that insurance policy, you just look for the water damage deductible. And if you see it's a $50,000 deductible or $100,000 deductible, you might want to steer away from that building.
So what I would do right now on my implementation card, the blue card, on the one side, if there's nothing else, is order the insurance policy on any buildings in which you own a condo or a townhouse or anything that's shared and take a look at it so you're not caught unawares. Please make sure you write that down. You don't want to forget that. And in the summer is a good time to do that.
And it's the duty of the condominium corporation. They must give you a copy of the policy every year at their AGM. So you probably have it, but just look for that water damage deductible. Reasons I mentioned on here, severity and frequency. The water claims are getting so expensive. Insurance companies are losing money. And also combined with that, in BC, there's some new earthquake model that showed insurance companies didn't have enough reinsurance to protect themselves for earthquakes. So that's hitting them at the same time as these water damage claims. And just to give an example of a claim on how this would work in a condo, I've used an example here of a lady, Deanna, who did not have any insurance. You know, when we surveyed RAIN members a few years ago, I think it's only a third of the RAIN members actually bought insurance on condos they own. So that's like two-thirds of the people that are just relying on the condo. Here's an example. Her pipe breaks. The water runs all day. Does damage to her unit and the two units below. Great news. The condominium corporation has insurance, and it's going to pay for all that damage. But there's a $25,000 deductible, and they just assess it to her, and she has to pay it out of her own pocket. You know, this happens every day in BC. And it's
but you can solve that by just adding your own insurance, like most of us do when we own condos.
When you own a condominium and you live in it, an owner-occupied condominium will typically include that coverage in every owner's package. The sad thing is when you have a rented condominium, nobody includes that coverage automatically. Some have it as an extra that you can add on, but you really have to make sure that that's the most important thing if you're investing in condominiums is the deductible coverage for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the other sad thing is most policies, you can only get $25,000 coverage. So if you've got a $100,000 deductible, you're really exposed. Also for Deanna in my example here, she also had some unit improvements that were made. And the condominium corporation, if there's any damage to your unit, they're only going to put it back the way the original owner developer built that building. So if it had carpet in there when it was built 20 years ago, that's all they're going to pay for. If Deanna here had put in hardwood floors and granite countertops, they're not going to pay for any of that. They're just going to give her. So she's got to decide in this example if she wants to, you know, have a lesser value of her condo or pay out of her own pocket to do all those improvements. And it didn't matter that she did the improvements or anyone could have made the improvements. If it was someone that owned that building 10 years before you and made those improvements, you're still responsible to insure them. And a typical package will cover that for you, so make sure you buy one. So I've got the next couple of slides are just going to go over some points that you should look for when you're buying insurance, and maybe you take some notes here. The first one is if you have residential dwellings, houses, you want to make sure you get an all-risk policy, not just a fire policy. You want to make sure you're getting water damage coverage, including flood and sewer backup. Extended vacancy protection. As I said earlier, some policies have 30 days, some 60, some 120.
I saw some at 14.
What's more important than that is whether or not you have water damage coverage, because they typically won't cover any water damage or vandalism the moment it becomes vacant. And I've seen some bad claims where people had no coverage at all. Rental income protection. This always amazes me how sometimes people, when they look at their policies, they don't even have rental income. Isn't that the whole reason you're buying these properties is for the cash flow? And like, you know, you could have a house that's not occupied for 6 months to a year. And, you know, if you don't need the cash flow, that's fine. But it's not an expensive coverage. Bylaw coverage is very important to have, because if any claim in a house, the municipality is going to make you bring it up to current codes, and a regular policy won't pay for any of those bylaw increases. You know, it could be $5,000 to upgrade the electrical system, a new breaker panel. You might need a new plug every 6 feet around the walls instead of one per room. You might need double glazed windows where you didn't have them before, thicker insulation, and without that coverage, you're not going to be compensated.
So what that means is that if your property burns down, for instance, just to use an excuse, and you're rebuilding it, a typical insurance company will do, or insurance coverage will do, will only build it and or pay the equivalent of what the original build was. So it could be crappy construction under old code. Well, most of the cities now say you have to rebuild up to brand new 2010 code, which, as many of us who have bought old properties and have to upgrade the fire, et cetera, and the built-in fire system and all that kind of stuff, if you don't have that, you're paying that extra bit that you have to do. It's not optional. You're paying it out of your own pocket. And unfortunately, a lot of people all they want to know is, can I get insurance? Yeah, good. Okay, give me some insurance, whatever some insurance means. And that's why sophisticated investors are paying close attention to what it says on their policy, especially now.
And another thing that's really important in the Lower Mainland here is the sprinkler bylaws, where you have to put in a sprinkler. You know, if you have you could have a $15,000 fire in your kitchen, and they make you put in a sprinkler system out of your own pocket. But, and the last one is guaranteed replacement cost protection. That's the only way you're going to have peace of mind that your property will be rebuilt. If you're buying condo properties, here's the things you want to look for. You want to make sure you get loss of rental income coverage. That's a no-brainer. Loss assessment coverage. A lot of policies have it, but you have to make sure it includes the deductible under the condo corporation. And sometimes you'll have to read the fine print that came with the policy. It won't just be on the cover sheet. Contents coverage. The condo strata corporation is not going to pay for any of your appliances, fridge, stove, washer, dryer.
That's often a surprise to investors. When the fire happens or flood happens, it ruins the fridge and the stove, obviously being electrical, and then they go to get their new ones, and they have to pay out of their own pocket unless they have a contents coverage rider, right?
Yep. And unit improvements, as I mentioned before. If there's any upgrades in that unit, whether it was by you or any previous owner of that unit, make sure you got them covered. And liability protection. You know, strata corporations have liability coverage. There was a recent court case just a month ago that determined that the liability coverage that the strata corporation carries is no use to a unit owner. It only covers the strata corporation itself. So when you're shopping for insurance, you know, insurance, buying insurance, no one really likes to do that. Most people, when they compare policies, they just compare on price alone. You know, you look at policy A versus policy B. But as I tell people, there's two ways to compare insurance. You have to know what you're buying. And that's hard for most people to compare one policy, the coverage, from another. But the only way you can really do a price comparison is to know what the coverage comparison is first. And we've been reviewing a lot of policies for RAIN members over the last 2 years. And we found that by coming up with a checklist, or we call it a scorecard system, where this will be in a handout for you that you're all going to get. But we've come up with a list of all the important coverages. We've assigned a point value to them all. Our policy, we have a score on there. And then your own policy, some people give this scorecard to their existing broker, or they try to do it themselves, or they fax us their policies. And we can assign a point value on yours. So, you know, if ours is 100 on the score and yours is 30, well, then when you're doing your price comparison, it's more meaningful. You better be saving a lot of money for that 30-point policy compared to a 100-point policy. And that the benefits of using this scorecard is it's going to prevent gaps in your coverage, and you're going to know whether or not you have something. You're going to understand what you're getting. You're going to get better value. It's also going to make it easier for you to buy a policy, because you're going to be able to quickly determine whether it's what you want or not. And it's going to give you peace of mind knowing you've got the coverage you want, or maybe if you don't want that coverage, you're going to get peace of mind as well. But of these policies, we've been going to every acre workshop over Canada in the last year, and a lot of people bring their policies to us, and we've done the comparison. And the average score that we've seen is between 30 and 50 points. I've seen
that should scare the you-know-what out of everybody in this room.
Yeah.
That if their insurance, you've seen a lot of coverage.
Yeah.
And if they're only getting 30 to 50 points out of 100.
One guy had 5 points.
5 points?
And as I said, I've never seen anybody with a rating higher than 70. So the bottom line is most investors are not adequately insured at all.
And it doesn't cost Sometimes it doesn't cost a whole lot more, like literally
exactly.
Nothing more to get better coverage. As a matter of fact, when I sent my multifamily property to you and said, okay, prove to me, Fitzpatrick, prove to me, and you came back with better coverage at slightly less money on my multifamily properties, and it was brilliant. So thank you.
You're welcome. The most frequent and serious gaps when we're going through these scorecards is no coverage for water damage at all, or underinsured with a limit on their water damage. As I mentioned earlier, no rental income coverage at all, no bylaw coverage. The exclusions during periods of vacancy for no water damage coverage at all, and no guaranteed replacement cost. So serious items there. So that's it. If you want to get excellent value, use a scorecard. They're going to be in your handout for you. If you want any further information, you can call us at that number. Our website has a lot of information for...
What is your website? Because I'm on CD. I can't see the screen.
Oh, sorry. www.parkinsurance.ca/rain. And I'll be at the table if anybody has any questions after the break.
So. They better have some questions. Mr. Brian Fitzpatrick, thank everybody. Much. Thank you. Got some questions. I got questions.
Okay.
I got questions. Okay, so tenant vandalism. How often have you seen, who here has ever had a pee-off tenant who left in a huff because you evicted them or something and did some damage to your property? Raise your hand high. Yeah, me too. Yay, isn't that fun? You know that most, I don't know if you've ever seen it when you're reviewing other people's, that they've got some decent coverage of tenant vandalism.
Most policies on rented houses do not cover tenant vandalism at all. It's typically
But the one that you do, the rain version, now, something to note, because there's a lot of new people here. Patrick Francy has worked and pushed and molded and taken all of the issues about what kind of insurance that you need to get and worked with Brian so that there's a rain specific policy. No, I do not get a percentage of it. This is not a pitch. This is to get you better coverage. This is not me making more money. This is Brian and Patrick working together to get something that covers the vacancy, that doubles the amount of time it can be vacant. The tenant vandalism in and of itself is a killer. It's fantastic because it's going to happen. And I want to make sure that everybody understands rental replacement, which means when there's been an issue or a claim on that house and you can't go in, right? You can't rent it out because it's going to take 2 months or 3 months to fix it. Do you know that the bank still wants their mortgage payment? Do you guys know that? Yeah. So where's that coming from? Usually it comes from the rent. It's coming from, HIP First National Trust, your pocket. So if you don't have rental coverage and tenant vandalism alone, those two things, then you're setting yourself up for too big a risk. So say, for instance, it's empty for 6 months or 7 months. Doesn't matter. They will pay you the equivalent rent every month as if it's fully rented. So what you want is once it's happened, you just tell the construction guys to work really slow. No, I'm kidding. Don't let Brian hear that. But they'll pay you. So it's like you're getting a fully rented suite.
The key here is that we don't even know often what questions to ask. So you go to a broker and they're not as skilled as Brian and his team or Hub and their team. So I've had vandalism this year. I hadn't had a claim for 8 years and I had three this year. One of them, which was the tenant, walked out the door, turned every tap on the unit on and left.
They were happy.
And so there was a lot of damage. I mean, I went, holy cow. Now, fortunately, our broker was a professional with rental units, and we were covered. So, but we wouldn't have thought to ask that question when we bought that unit 5 years ago. We just would not have. So my suggestion is just deal with people that know what they're doing. Brian, that's what he does.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what you don't know.
He's here in your own backyard, which
yep,
is kind of nice.
Right
but
here.
More importantly, there's the questions to ask is your scorecard. Mr. Brian Fitzpatrick, you're going to be sitting over there next to Kevin Poole. Vernon and Peter Kinch and his team are over in that back for mortgages. So if you're going to have questions, this break is going to be the place. Thank you so very, very much.
Thanks, Don.
That's fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.